You're listening to Cloudcast Weekly, a podcast by SearchCloudProvider.com. I am Jessica Scarpetti, site editor of Search Cloud Provider. And by my side, as always, never failing, even on a crazy Thursday like today, is Gina Narcissi, our wonderful news writer.
Hey, Jessica. And hey, I Gina. Try.
Yes. And we appreciate it, always. So we're here to give you guys a quick kind of wrap-up of some of the stuff that's new on the site this week. And Gina, why don't you start out with your story about whether cloud providers can really kind of be good consultants for their customers, right?
Right, definitely. So my story was about cloud consulting services, sort of the idea of providers trying to ease customers into the cloud. But it's definitely difficult because it's kind of a question as to whether they can actually be an objective party. Obviously, at the end of the day, they're still trying to sell their services. So I did talk to Dimension Data, who recently announced their cloud readiness service. And it sort of helps organizations to sort of assess what they think their ability is in terms of like migrating applications to the cloud and how prepared they think they are. Kind of starts with filling out a survey themselves, and then it goes into like a workshop and an assessment period, and Dimension Data kind of helps, you know, the decision makers for the company sort of figure out if and what kinds of applications they should be moving, internal readiness, and they kind of work together to sort of figure out if this is doable over a two-week period. And so, you know, the company did tell me, Dimension Data rather told me, that the readiness service is, you know, it would be good for customers of any stage if they've, you know, migrated a few things to the cloud, if they're completely new to the cloud, and it can just be useful for whatever stage that they find themselves in. And I did talk to a few analysts as well who definitely had some opinions on whether providers can be objective enough. They talked about the specific customer size. Basically, mid-sized customers would really benefit from a service like this because they have enough IT where somebody would be able to answer the questions on the initial survey, which is important. If you don't understand, you know, your own infrastructure, you're not going to be able to answer those questions properly, and you might make a decision that doesn't make sense money-wise or ends up not working out at all, which is bad for the customer, but also bad for the provider. You definitely don't want people dropping out of your cloud. So a mid-sized company would have IT, but they wouldn't have maybe enough expertise to be able to sort of decide if the cloud is right for them without a little extra help. So the cloud readiness service could really target a mid-sized market.
So did you get a chance to talk to Dimension Data at all about like when they, or like how they sort of decide also, you know, when they work with customers, like, you know, which ones they should move to the cloud, like if they're kind of how they're like managing that line of like wanting to get people to buy their services, but also trying to remain like an objective advisor and one that, you know, the customer is going to trust.
Right. I mean, Dimension Data seems to be a little bit unique in terms of just the other cloud readiness services that I've kind of seen out there. Because Dimension Data is also a service integrator. So they're kind of used to helping people decide if, you know, something's right for them and help them put it in place. So their cloud services, that's really not their only business.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it seems to be more objective than if just, you know, a cloud provider with just cloud services was trying to offer a service like this. I think it would be hard for them to be purely objective.
Yeah, and I definitely remember Tom Knoll, one of our favorite site experts, talking about this. And I don't remember if it was in one of your stories or one of the tips that we ran. But yeah, I remember him saying that, you know, providers absolutely should not pressure customers to move everything into the cloud. One, because it's just not realistic. And two, if people do that and then everything winds up being awful, they're going to, you know, associate it with, like, make that association between, like, that experience and the cloud and the specific cloud provider. And they're going to say, oh, cloud sucks. Nothing works. When really, some things shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right, absolutely. He definitely had some strong opinions, and that's why I was excited to interview him for this particular story. you know, of course, a lot of his quotes didn't make it in, but all good stuff. He was kind of talking about how with some companies, it's garbage in, garbage out. so if you, you know, you can't make your own decision and maybe you don't have the IT in place to begin with, you have no business, you know, entering into one of these cloud readiness services because you actually might be pressured to in some way adopt some sort of cloud services that you might not be ready for at all.
All right, Gina, another riveting roundup. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jessica, and good luck to all our listeners who are out in this right. storm that's coming up.
Yes, if you're on the East Coast, and specifically in the Northeast, we hope you make it through the snowpocalypse okay, and I promise I'm never going to use that term again, but I had to just once. OpenStack has one thing in common with hurricanes. And it's not just its ability to gain more mass and momentum as it spirals. Like those treacherous tropical storms, each version of OpenStack gets a new code name and works its way through the alphabet. The latest release, Folsom, came out this fall. Its next reincarnation will be Grizzly, which is due out in April. Around the same time Folsom was released, the OpenStack Foundation was born. The foundation was tasked with promoting the development, distribution, and adoption of OpenStack. And the group has some big names attached to it, including AT&T, HP, IBM, Cisco, Dell, Intel, VMware, and many more companies that will probably be mad that we didn't name them. Sorry, guys. We recently had the opportunity, though, to catch up with Alan Clark, chairman of the OpenStack Foundation, who shared some of his thoughts about Folsom's greatest hits and what improvements we can expect to see in Grizzly. In the two-part Q&A, Clark, who has a day job at SUSE, says the OpenStack community has been working hard to improve the platform's stability. And one of the big criticisms that has shadowed OpenStack has been whether it's really stable enough and feature-rich enough for a cloud provider environment. Some of this work was incorporated in Folsom, but there's still more work to be done, Clark says. It looks like we'll see some of the fruits of these labors in Grizzly, but ultimately its users, him calling all cloud providers, will be the judges of that. Be sure to check out the Q&A series on our homepage this week to learn more about where OpenStack's been and where it's going. And that is all that we have for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out all we talked about and more at searchcloudprovider.com. Thanks for listening.